Hi there. Welcome to the Dialogue on Digital Rights for Media Practitioners. My name is Roland Yagaba, and I am the founder of Mwado. Mwado is an African social network that is working to ensure that creatives on the platform earn from their content. I am also your host. This is a documentary-style podcast where we'll take a deep dive into the experiential divide between women and men in media while they're conducting their work online. You will hear views from 7 different Ugandans in the media industry on this topic. But due to the pandemic, the interviews were carried out by sending voice notes recorded using phones. So if some of the sound is not that good, please understand and forgive us. This podcast has been made possible with support from the Women at Web Project, which is under the Collaboration on International ICT Policy for East and Southern Africa, also known as CIPESA, or CIPESA, depending on how you pronounce it. Our other partner is Phoenix Reason, whose empathy workshop framework we have used for the interviews. So now I will let our participants introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Kanaram Gume, and I am an investigative journalist with NBS Television. I'm also a radio show host on Next Radio, political show called The Big Talk. I'm also a podcaster of two podcasts, one called The CoronaCast on coronaviruses and lessons we've learned, and The Election Podcast, one on politics. And that is about the 2021 general elections in Uganda.
My name is Caro Aliek Bayanga, and I am the managing editor for the digital section, digital content at the Monitor Publications Limited.
Hi, my name is Danze Edwin John, aka Dijan. I'm communications and media personality.
My name is Yvonne Injuna. I work with New Vision as a sub-editor. I have worked on TV, I have worked on radio. Now I'm working with print media.
My name is Emmanuel Sejengo. I'm the editor of The Kampala Sun. The Kampala Sun is an English language tabloid of New Vision.
My name is Sima Chakuhede Sabiti, and my background in the media has been quite varied. I have been a radio presenter. I have been a magazine editor. I've also worked in the marketing department of Uganda's biggest media house, as well as working in their online department.
My name is Eva Zanye, Ernest Bazanye. I'm a former journalist, currently everywhere, consultant, writer.
In episode 8, we want to see if there are examples of times the media has played a role, a positive role, in encouraging inclusion of women in the industry. All right. Welcome all of you to the podcast. Thank you for agreeing to participate in this. Let's dive straight into the questions. In your work, what active efforts have you seen address the stereotypes and the underrepresentation of women in the media that play a significant role in shaping harmful attitudes of disrespect and violence towards women?
A number of times when we have seen stereotypes or underrepresentation of women in the media, we have done our best to try and fix that error, correct that mistake. So one of the things, just small things first, for example, one of the things we do is, as a Daily Monitor, we have a section where we ask every day, we ask people, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? What do you think about the elections? What do you think about the opposition and how they're being handled? What do you think about, you know, this person and what has happened to them? What do you think about the lockdown? You know, the various questions we ask every day, what is trending? You will notice that we usually ask four people. The person who's supposed to ask four people, and he will always ask, it is balanced. It is always two women and two men. If he brings back a number that is not commensurate to that, if he brings back three men and one man, or three men and one woman, that will be thrown out. And he'll be told, no, we want halves, a split thing, two women, two men. So that is standard, and he knows he has to do that. And then all the vox pops we do, the vox pops are the comments we get from people on the street about an issue, when maybe we're doing a particular story, we're talking about a particular issue, we sort of go out there and say, you know, what do you think about this? Whether it's in sports, whether it's in features, it's in business, we tend to do vox pops, and you'll notice that all of them have to have a fairly even number, men and women, different ages, different backgrounds, different lifestyles, but it has to be different professions, different careers, but it has to be men and women. So that is one way we are trying to ensure that the balance is that women are represented more in the media. Another thing we have done as Monitor Publications was recently we decided the conversation was that many of our columnists are male, and we don't have that many female columnists, and the frustrating one was on Sunday, where all the columnists were men, and we were like, no, we can't. That is just really underrepresentation, and even during the week. So we not just men, and not just gender, but also age, different professions, different people write about different things. A lot of it was politics and maybe business. We didn't have stuff about health, about the environment, about the weather. So we reworked that. We sought out publicly. We went out and asked people to submit, if they think they could be a columnist. But we also sought out people who we know wrote well every once in a while, and we said we're going to make those people our permanent columnists, writing every weekly. Others will make sure that on a regular basis we have more women. So if you look at our columnists nowadays, you realize we have more women. We have Emily Maraxo, the lecturer at UCU, who writes on Mondays, I think it is. We have Angela Nampeo, one of our editors, who writes in the Sunday paper now, and a couple of more others in the paper. We also, even those who are not necessarily regular, the opinions editor is tasked, and he makes sure that he has his opinions, that there's the balance. He has as many women as men on different topics, on different issues. I believe that the balance is much, much better nowadays. So that's one other thing we have done to ensure that we have that kind of balance. And then in terms of stereotyping, we also have spoken to reporters, we have done training in terms of how do we ensure that we're not stereotyping women. We had there's a training that Uganda Women's Media Association did about how to represent gender in the media, and a couple of our reporters and editors attended that training and are now using that information to ensure that when they write stories, the stories are balanced and are not stereotypical and things like that. But also the editors now are keen to know that when a story comes through, we are not writing stereotypes and encouraging wrong narratives of women in society. So when the stories come through, many of the times the reporters may not know the new ones, or the ones just sort of think, ah, the story, yes, this woman, this and that, or this girl, or this child. But once the story comes through, we rework it. And also when audiences come up and tell us and say, oh, how could you write this? This is so wrong. You need to change that. And, this is, how could you do this? So we receive that feedback, we take it on, and we fix it. And even when we've had accusations amongst us and say, oh no, your presenter on radio said this, your reporter wrote this, we've taken steps to work on them. We've listened to the public, we've apologized where we believe we've got it wrong, we've tried to explain maybe what went wrong, and then we've gone ahead to fix and say, okay, let's rewrite this better. So I think those are the active efforts we've seen, and I think also that Daily Monitor has improved greatly in hiring more women in the media. I'm proud to say that currently the editor for the Daily Paper is a woman and a good friend of mine, Margaret Vuchiri. The head of news at NTV and a friend also is Josephine Karunji. The managing editor for digital content is myself, Carol Bayanga. So we have a number of women who are now heading sections and very senior positions. We also have, and not just in the editorial section. If you look at marketing, it's been held by women for a long time now. The previous person was a lady, Sarah Nale, who left after working there, I think, about 7 years. Currently, we have Elizabeth Namaganda, who's in that area. And in NTV, I believe the head of production is also a lady, Jackie. So we are doing lots of things to ensure that women are represented, not just in the paper, but also in positions in the newspaper. The editor for the upcountry team is Nasina Lugo, a woman. So we are working to ensure that women are also in those positions, so that we can have effective representation. We can have voices. Our head of audit is a woman, Agnes Namiako. So we are doing. I think the management is doing a lot to ensure that women are represented, not just in the media as we write, but also in the organization itself. So that then they are coming out and, you know, seeing certain things from a certain lens, representing, putting out, you know, points out there and information out there that represents what women feel, believe, think, or what maybe the men may not necessarily have easily seen. But also, I'm happy about at a Daily Monitor, a number of our men, not all, but a number of our men, I believe, are conscious about that stereotyping. I find that our general manager for editorial for Uganda of Energy, Daniel Kainaki, is very, very keen and very aware, and he will point out issues where he realizes we have not gotten it right, or we are not, you know, looking at those issues. He's very keen on that. I find also that every once in a while, our MD is very keen. He, you know, once it's pointed out, he will work to fix it. He will work to deal with the issue, and, you know, not just assume and say, he will work. So I find that there are a number of men within the organization who are also aware, and in senior positions, who can actually make things happen, who also determine and say, no, guys, we need to stop the stereotyping. This does not look well. This is not, and if we're going to do this story, we need to do it this way, which is good, because then it does not look like, oh, it's just the women who are fighting for this. It looks like this is a general thing that we should all be doing.
At NBS, where I work, we've said that every story should be seen to have efforts for, you know, gender balance. Because you see, you misrepresent the women when you have to let the men comment, even if it's not just about matters of gender. If it's matters about the economy, women too have an opinion. If it's matters, then you cannot say that they're only experts on the economy or on taxes, and all of them are men. I think women are out there to explore. We need to pick on their knowledge. So one of the things that I've been championing at work is at least have gender balance, or let's see the efforts, because we understand there are challenges in there on trying to balance these stories in terms of gender, but then let's see the efforts for each and every story. And then, you know what happens at work? If you don't do that, you lose at the end of the month. So you look at your key performance indicators. What stories have you done? Did they try to balance, among other things, gender? And then if you don't do that, then you're losing on your key performance indicators, and it has an implication at the end of the year, how much you're supposed to earn or your promotions, which is a really good thing, because I think it's one of the things that would push us. Yeah.
Where I work from, there's some things that we cannot, publish, especially when they're not factual, when you cannot fact check and see if it is true or not. When something could lead you to be sued. So you really have to be careful and make sure that what you put out there does not undermine the integrity and reputation of the person, because you could be sued and the company would lose money. But then also, when we are editing, when we are publishing, we must make sure that we balance the voices. For example, if you have vox pops, or, you know, voices of people speaking, if a writer talks to three people, to four people, two must be men, two must be women, you know, so that we can strike a balance in between the gender.
The efforts being put in, for example, I'll use myself as an example. I run a team of about 15 people, interns, digital executives, managers, and etc. I have a preference working with women because of their work ethic, more inclusion. Most of the interns that we get, I really always recommend I get ladies, because of their enthusiasm, their neatness, their planning, basically they are just they're ladies. They bring that to the table. Men were rough, technical, and all those things. And I think the efforts are being put in, especially when it comes to my, I'll use myself as a case study. Like again, I was so Next Media has a lot of female top management people, even on the board. So it's a good balance, and it gives us, it erases the whole aura of men, this, men, that. No, there are a lot of women making key decisions. How head of marketing is a lady, head of commercial is a lady, head of news was a lady, but she went for politics. Our online editor is a lady, chief of staff is a lady, chief financial officer is a lady, head of content is a lady. I could go on and on forever. That's the reality that I am in, especially for Next Media. When again, I'll refer to African Woman, the chief decision makers were all ladies, from Sylvia to Annette Babazi to Olette Grace to everyone. It was many ladies, and we were following their lead, because communities or the new world we live in, we have different body parts and we look different, but the brains are literally the same. We are capable of being so much more, especially when it comes to delivering information, communication, design, concepts, etc. So those are some of the efforts that have been put in place. Other places I've seen, like the celebrated journalists out there like Christian Herman Poe and others out there, Story Shape really stands out for me, are really pushing the agenda out there. Flavia Tumusime locally here, Linda Dan, Dani, I don't know how to say it exactly, Ann Nixon, Porsche, I could mention so many of them. They are really pushing the envelope. They are the producers, they are the content creators, they are the decision makers, they are the managers of these artists and etc. So I think these innovative, these opportunities that are created or centered around pushing this culture of men or women, we are equal in terms of the workspaces and other arenas in our livelihood. Trainings for women, organizations out there to protect women, all these things are pushing that envelope towards reducing or changing the narrative or the disrespect of harm and violence to women. I think there needs to be a very strong policy online or in communities whereby men are actually held accountable and punished for the misdeeds that they do, based off proof, based off counseling, based off facts, get it? Not just communities ganging up on people and taking them down. Considering all factors, because we've seen a lot of things happen in these scenarios. So those are some of the things I think would make change. My reality again is very different. That's why I gave exact examples for Next Media of where I come from, my line of my career path.
There have been efforts I have undertaken to address the stereotypes and underrepresentation of women in the media. One, I've tried to engage and use as many women journalists as possible in the Kampala Sun newspaper. I've tried to, because it's an integrated media house, I've tried to poach them from other platforms, like the New Vision paper, Urban TV mostly, but also Bukede, which is a Luganda newspaper. So my idea for doing that is that with the women having numbers, they would come up with a common voice. One of the criticisms against Kampala Sun before I became editor was that its tone was very masculine. And true to it then I was a writer for Kampala Sun. The people who were managing content directly, the editor, the three writers, staff writers, were all men. There was no single woman. The women who were contributing were freelancers. But even amongst the freelancers, the team was largely made up of men. Largely. So when you would have a brainstorm meeting, and these were men with strong views, very strong views, strong masculine views. So in meetings, brainstorm meetings, usually the women would be overshadowed. Now, however, when I try to do that, the challenge is that in the newsroom, people tend to look up to their seniors and try to do things the seniors do. It is an easy way out. So even most women who were attracted to work with Kampala Sun had disturbingly masculine tones and voices and arguments. So it is a dilemma. But by the time of the lockdown, I think that perception had changed largely. In fact, by more than 2 years ago, it had changed largely. We were starting to get real feminist views. So we however, were faced with a problem because of that background I've given. There's a group of feminists. They have an office somewhere in Kololo, up above Jinja Road Police Station. Now, often when we approach them for interviews, their members, they often turned us down because they said we are a masculine paper. Now, a masculine paper is trying to become feminists, and the feminists themselves are not interested. I found it strange. I found they wanted the status quo to remain so that they keep playing victim. As in, playing victim has become their job. So if the paper is feminist, if a traditional paper is feminist, then what will be their role as feminist? I think that is what happens. So it is a hard one, but the attempt to get female voices in stories, opinions, in a story, whether it's a legal matter, whether it is, it is very, usually one of the people we often interview in a position is the president of the Uganda Law Society. Now this time we have Fiona Wall, a woman. However, in all honesty, she's not quick to respond as the former presidents. Simon Chinobe was always quick on anything. Your view of this and this and this. He would either ask you to call him back in a few minutes, or he would answer immediately. Fiona Wall will tell you she's going to release a statement, she's going to share it with you. And while you're trying to have a scoop and be the only one with a breaking news, she places it everywhere, so it's no longer exclusive. So the efforts are there, but they face those challenges. However, I always insist in we multi-source our stories, apart from the one-on-one interviews. I always insist on women voices in the stories. Even sports, which is highly, because the most popular sports for Kampala Sun are usually male dominated. We do a lot of football, a lot of rugby, and a lot of basketball. Now the leagues and the teams, the men and women, the men usually attract more attention. So we cover a lot of them. But even when we are covering them, we don't cover results and all. We tend to cover the things that, one, we assume will interest women about sports. So there are lots of relationships. We talk to wives or girlfriends of players. We talk about bedroom scandals and the women I interviewed are involved. We've done a lot about women rugby, following these women, who they are, what they do, all that. So the efforts are there across the board, but the challenges are still present, and there doesn't seem to be a clear solution to those challenges.
I don't know what you mean by in my work, because I don't really know what my work is. I used to be a person who writes jokes. I was a humorist, then I was a satirist, current affairs and political, well, not political, because I try to avoid the politics, but a current affairs satirist. Right now, I am mainly an advertising, an ad man, which I don't really consider any of that work, you know, the kind of place where I'm actually going to have a positive impact on the society I live in. But active efforts I've seen to address the stereotypes, I can't say that I've seen, I have seen efforts that don't address the stereotypes. I've seen efforts that either reinforce the stereotypes, or replace them with other stereotypes. Like, for example, we know that advertising and entertainment are like, you know, the very, very advertising and entertainment are very fond of the idea that a female person has to be sexually attractive. We treat being sexually attractive as if it's, you know, as if it's a virtue, on par with, you know, courage and your kindness and willingness to sacrifice and for others. We treat it as if it's what it's a difference between a good person and a bad person is, you know, how many people want to have sex with them. Basically, we talk about, oh, she's a, we can't just say, we don't say so and so is a strong independent woman. We say she's a strong, beautiful, independent woman. We add beautiful as if that matters in any case. So you see, we've maintained the stereotype that a woman's value is in how she looks. So we pretty much, I find that just persists. It's just that even in cases when we are trying to pretend that we are fighting the old stereotypes, even in cases where we try to claim that we're fighting the actual sexism itself, we still use the same thing. We try to claim that, oh, we're not going to, that it was, we're trying, we refute the idea that women are weak or weaker or inferior or less intelligent by saying that she is strong, smart, and beautiful. We keep adding that beautiful part, that beautiful, as if, and so really, that I just keep seeing it all the time, and it just, because honestly, a guy can be the guy who invents the thing can be as hideous as he can be as disheveled, he can be, no one cares whether he has a hair, whether his clothes match, he's allowed to be a dustbin. But suddenly, it's like you're not, anyway, let people not be beautiful, it's allowed. Since when? I mean, you also mentioned underrepresentation of women in the media. Now that is, well, it's hard to say. I can't really comment on that myself, because like I have mentioned, my case is quite unique from the general media in say, I don't know if I could say the media in Uganda or the media in Africa, in East Africa, or the media in Africa, and all. I can, because I have been, my whole journalism career was at the New Vision. And this was a place where, I mean, Barbara Kaija is now the editor-in-chief of the New Vision. And when I joined the New Vision, she was features editor. She was my first real boss before she moved me on to another, before I moved on to Sunday Vision, where I had quite a, but the thing is, there have always been more women in the office than guys during my time at the, in the New Vision. I don't take this to mean that there's no underrepresentation of women in the media or in the media industry. I don't take that to mean that at all, because I never counted whether the women were getting more stories published than the guys. I never looked at, you know, who's getting paid more, who's getting paid less. I never measured to see who is getting the better treatment or respect levels. I never looked at any of that, because mostly I just went to work, did my stuff, and had fun, you know, because it was like a, we often called the Sunday Vision like the country club, because it was the kind of place that we just go, even if you didn't have work to do, we always had fun, because I loved my colleagues. There were they were very present people. So I just used to just go to work, do some work, have a blast, come back. I never really thought too much about it, so I can't really say that I paid a lot of attention. But what I can say is that because I worked with the New Vision, I am not able to speak of the underrepresentation of women in the media or how it works, because I was in a very, very progressive environment. You guys, I don't actually know. I can't even actually say that I could actually see how much of this was due to the efforts of Mrs. Kaija, or who she had to fight, or who she had to fight for. But I do know that Papa Kaija's new vision was not the place where you tell a person that you're just a woman, you can't do the job. So do they shape harmful attitudes and disrespect and violence towards women? I'm not going to say, let me make this another note altogether.
If I can be completely honest, the efforts I see to address the stereotypes and underrepresentation of women in the media, it pops up once a year on the 8th of March when everybody's like celebrating our women and we stand with you and you're amazing and you're this and you're that and blah, 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 blah. Once March is done, then it's business as usual. It literally is business as usual. So I think that there's a lot more that needs to be done. I think that this is because of the way our society is, and especially because of the power of social media. This is a message that needs to be drummed into people consistently. And it shouldn't just start, let's say, at a corporate level or at a level when, let's say, people join the workforce. It needs to start like from primary school. We need to make boys understand. We need to raise boys, okay, who understand that there's certain behavior that is just unacceptable. It's no good now trying to change a man who is now like 25 and above. Start when they're young. Boys need to understand they need to respect girls. They need to understand that no means no. They need to understand that girls are not there. They're not like their playthings. This is something that needs to start from a basic level. And until that happens, we're going to continue having these attitudes of disrespect and violence towards women and you know, men thinking they can get away with it, or even women thinking that this is just the way it is. So even women themselves, because of the society they've been raised in, not being able to recognize abuse, not being able to recognize that, you know what, I'm being treated like this either by my partner or by my boss, and it's not right. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and it needs to start from a much earlier developmental stage.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks once again to our participants for agreeing to be a part of this. And thank you to the women at Web Project under Cypessa for making this happen, and Phoenix Reason for allowing us to use their framework. Catch you on the next episode. I remain Roland, your host.